Hi, and welcome to the Crippled System Roundtable Tangent-Filled Discussion about the Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. So I just want to let you know that this episode does include a lot of spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie in the past week, you should go see it before listening to this little podcast. This was recorded last Sunday, 12:22. Go and watch a damn movie before you listen to this.
I can't wait to see next week. You guys talk about cats.
But I don't think Andy's ever seen it.
I mean, I just know some of the songs. That's all. I mean, because, you know, you do Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals.
No. No.
No, that is so right. It's so right. Because here's the thing.
She's the Yennefer, worst.
Yennefer, hot, whatever. She's so mean.
There's an actual.
She's just a horrible, horrible person. Triss is like nice and supportive and like, and still kick ass. I mean, that's the thing. Triss
also a rapist, but you know, that's in the books.
I mean, I haven't read the books. I played three.
Actually, I think it's
and I haven't even played two.
So Geralt has amnesia, and she uses that to convince him that they're a couple, so that she can bang him, and that's rape.
If I had someone like that convince me that I was, I'm like, sure, I'm in for that. Right. I'm sure it was really.
We're live.
We are live. Angelicals do. And Nate and I are going to argue about Yennefer versus Triss. I mean, I will agree. Shawnee?
So
is there a middle ground there that we can agree on?
Shawnee is probably, yes. I mean, Shawnee's a great choice. Mm-hmm. I also like Kira Mintz a lot, although she nags the hell out of him.
Yeah,
at the beginning.
Like
she,
yeah.
If you want to talk about someone who's a bitch to Geralt,
yeah,
she
it's
is,
her.
But
I mean, yeah.
Also, she and if you do things right, she and Lambert end up together, and that's good. I can ship that, because Lambert, what a prick.
All right, fair.
That's Geralt's limerick. I don't know if you remember that.
I
part.
Don't remember.
Like in a
that
boat part. Or whatever, and then he's like, "Lambert, you want to hear a limerick I made up?" And Lambert's like, "Sure." And Geralt just goes, "Lambert, what a prick!"
And that's
the whole limerick.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just Lambert, what a prick. It's right. Great. That's shortly before he and Eskel and Geralt get drunk and then cross dress to prank call wizards.
Man, when did this
when you
happen?
Go back to Kaer Morhen.
Okay, yeah.
So there's like before you're going to do the trial of the grasses on Uma.
Okay. Yep.
You can get drunk with your buddies. There's also a part where you go and you talk to Yennefer if you did the Last Wish quest to finish the romance track on her.
Yep.
But you can also
that was the part that I was very interested in because sex on a unicorn.
No, that's an early.
Oh, that's the early. Earlier. Okay.
Never mind. Yeah, that's on Skellige.
Oh, yeah, that's
but,
right.
But this is, so like, and you can not do this, because like, Lambert's like, let's get drunk, and Geralt can be like, no, we gotta do stuff tomorrow, and that'll be the end of it. But if you go along with their bad ideas, and like, Eskel's like, hey, we should do this, and you're like, yeah, you're a genius, Eskel, let's do that. You can get absolutely trashed, and then you go up to like, the top of the tower, because you're like, we should get some sorceresses, because bitches, right? Mm-hmm. Like Eskel's like, summon the bitches. That's his line from that. And you're
sure.
Like, you're a genius. So you're going to use Yennefer's crystal ball to call and get some of her Lodge of the Sorceress
friends
to come over so you can bang them.
Man.
And so then you're going to do that, but then Lambert's like, wait. Like, they'll recognize us. And then you're like, well, if we dress like sorceresses, somehow that'll make sense. So you all like raid Yennefer's closet and you dress up in Yennefer's dresses so you can call her Lodge of Sorceress friends
do this
so that you
at
can
all.
Get sex. But you don't know how to use the crystal ball, so you call some random wizard that's like taking a dump and he's like, "Who are you? What's going on?" It's amazing.
Oh, I need
Game
to go
of
back.
The year every year.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. No, I should go back and do that. That sounds amazing. All right.
That's so Star Wars.
All right. So we're back for some Star Wars talk.
Yeah, do some welcome back to Crippled System Star Wars Rise of Skywalker talk.
Full spoilers. Kylo Ren dies.
He fades away.
Well, that's dying for a Jedi.
Yeah, I mean,
it's better to burn out.
Yeah.
Ben Solo fades away.
That's true.
How obvious was it to you guys that scene with Harrison Ford was supposed to be Carrie Fisher and they had to hastily rewrite it because she was dead?
I don't care.
I had no idea.
I think they did it well, especially calling back the same dialogue. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought it was good, but Or do you think I'm wrong? Do you think that was always supposed
to
be?
Oh, no, him? I think it was total. I think you're right. When you said, someone said that, was it you that I read? Maybe, say I something? No. That's totally what should have happened is Carrie Fisher, but then, you know, you didn't have that. And honestly, the second, hey, kid, I just, wow, well done, well done. My jaded 44-year-old self was like, huh, you fucking surprised me. A Star Wars movie? Fucking,
yeah.
Fucking nailed me a little bit there. I was like, wow, all right, well done.
That whole conversation with Harrison Ford was fucking amazing. It was so good. It would have been still really good with Carrie Fisher, but I think the fact that it was because he was basically living with killing his dad for such a long time, and I think the fact that it was Harrison Ford, it feels like that's what it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I think it was supposed to be him.
I just the timing of Carrie Fisher, like of Princess Leia, of General Organa. What she does right before there, where she's like, she dies using the Force to transmit to speak to Ben one time. And in the movie, she just says, Ben, and distracts him briefly, and that's the entirety of her contribution. Yeah. It just seems like it was built up to be more, and then it switches to Han.
I bet you it was probably supposed to be with Carrie Fisher, but I think
maybe both of them.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it could have, maybe.
With how much Harrison Ford wanted to be out of those movies, I feel like he probably wasn't supposed to be there, and then he agreed to do it as a favor to Carrie, basically.
Mm-hmm. I think it was probably his best performance in the series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
That second that Hey Kid pops out, though, is just,
And then the only other Carrie Fisher-related stuff is you could kind of tell that they had to make do with what footage they had. So there was a lot of people saying, like, I know what you're thinking. You don't have to say it. And it's like, well, that's because she couldn't say it because they didn't have stuff
for her saying it.
Like,
or
she knows what she has to do. She has to do this, that, or the other. And it's like, in the script, she probably said what she had to do.
Yeah.
But overall, I think they did a decent job of recovering from the loss of who was – like, they'd saved her. She was supposed to be, like, the main character.
Yeah, she was. It was supposed to be
– 7 was Han, 8 was Luke, 9 was Leia. And just unfortunately,
I thought the CG was done well for both when they were showing Luke and Leia, basically teacher student.
I liked it overall. Yeah. I enjoyed the film. I was happy I saw it. I'm going to see it two more times this week. I enjoyed it. I think I liked 7 more than 9. And I think I liked 8 the least of the new trilogy, and not just because it subverted expectations and did things. There's a lot of issues with it, and 9 has similar issues, but not to the extent of 8. And it's not even just stuff like the Casino Planet, obviously, is one thing.
Yeah.
There's just shit like BB-8 driving an AT-ST and the complete lack of good handling of Captain Phasma again and stuff like that just really graded on me.
Yeah, I look at it like this though too, and this is kind of Chris had explained to me some things that he had apprehensions about the first like 30 minutes of the film. For me, I went into this film with the idea of this is a film that's really made for kids, and I should take away what I can from it and not try to overanalyze it, because the first 30 minutes of it is just It felt like a fucking kid telling the story. It really felt like
I saw it twice, and the first time I saw it, I sat there for the first 30 minutes, and I stewed, and I was mad, and I hated it, because I kept thinking about how much I didn't, because I didn't like 8 at all. I mean, I know a lot of people enjoyed it. You know, some people enjoyed it, some people hated it. I was one of the people that hated it.
8 is probably my least favorite non-prequel Star Wars.
Okay. For what it's worth. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see that. So I spent the first 30 minutes just like, why, and I just wasn't, you know, because again, like Andy said, it was like a kid, like it was very chaotic
and
very
slug guy on the Millennium Falcon was the thing that grated me the most. I'm like, who's this asshole?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. It was weird that they just had some random crew. I'm like, come on.
And over and over, that guy's in the movie. They keep showing him. Yeah. I'm like, I don't care about Slugs McKenzie over here. What is happening?
Slugs McKenzie. Is he giving you some slurm in a can over here, you know, or whatever? I don't know. It was weird. So yeah, so the first time I saw it, that was kind of what was running through my head. And then eventually I just kind of fell into it. I'm like, oh yeah, this is a Star Wars movie. And I enjoyed the rest of it. But.
So I've seen people on Facebook and they're like, oh, you know, the blah, blah, this, that, like stuff is dumb. And the thing that I've been saying back to people is the very first Star Wars movie ever had a farm boy and his wizard best friend piloting around the galaxy in a spaceship driven by a dog. Like, you were never supposed to take shit seriously.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I still do take certain things seriously just for the matter of respecting established things. And that's not even, like, inventing new things, but shit like changing Han versus Greedo. Like,
maybe that
is still a man-child thing to care about, but I care about it more because once art exists, it should be respected. Mm-hmm. Less so, you know, like, I don't mind adding new random force powers. Like, people were shitting their
pants
about Yoda being able to shoot a lightning bolt down, right? Well, then why weren't they mad in Empire when a force ghost appears? Because there were no force ghosts in episode 4.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't have a problem.
Anytime that shit happens.
Anytime they do something new like that did not bother me. With Luke with the force projection in 8. That wasn't the reason I didn't like 8.
Right,
like,
and that's, yeah.
I mean, it was fine, and they did more of that, obviously, in this movie, too, where they added things that had never happened before, like the whole dyad in the...
Well, and, the teleportation of stuff. Like, when he first, like, grabs the beads, I'm like, wait, that kind of doesn't make sense. And then it happens a second time, like, when they crush the statue.
Yep.
Like, oh, okay, they're establishing this.
Yep.
Setup, reminder, and then payoff,
yep.
right?
Yep. Exactly.
So yes, you got to do that. But the first 30 minutes, I actually... To me, it was almost masterful, and I get that it was just like a 5-year-old throwing shit at the wall, but going into the movie, like, everybody's wondering, well, like, how's the Emperor back? How's the Emperor back?
Yeah.
And the movie, literally 30 seconds after the title crawl, is like, there's the Emperor, like, science or shit, whatever. And then the movie just
moves on. Yeah, exactly.
Because whatever. Yeah. Like, we could spend
it doesn't
2 hours
matter.
Getting to the ruins of the Death Star where the ghost of the Emperor possesses Rey and, you know, like, all that shit that people thought about could have happened. Or 30 seconds in the movie, they can go, I'm fucking magic. Shut up and move on.
Yeah,
the
clones.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's clones.
Yeah,
shut
Dark
up.
Side powers movie. Brought him back from the dead. Resurrection
he's
can
got
happen.
A fleet. Whatever. There's a fleet.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yep.
And I can get that. I can get, like, people can be annoyed that, like, well, where did he get this fleet from? How come there's been – have these people just been living on the ships for 30 years? Like, sure. Or fuck off. He's got a big fleet and we got to stop him.
Yeah.
Like
– Yeah, that didn't – yeah.
There's a point where you just have to move on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Death Star in episode 4 makes no sense whatsoever when you break down to logistics. You can't break Star Wars down to logistics.
Yeah. It's not meant to be. It's a fairy tale. That is what Lucas wanted it to be. The first, it's all about, I mean, the themes that happen in the first trilogy, it's a fairy tale of man versus machine, war being horrid. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it's about. It doesn't need to make sense. I mean, it was Lucas did this because he saw things like 2001 and was like, I don't want my science fiction to be this dry kind of thing. I want it to be these space epics that I saw when I was a kid, the Flash Gordons and that sort of thing. That's what Lucas was doing with the original trilogy. So for us to now have this...
When the knight goes and rescues Rapunzel from the tower, where did Rapunzel get food from? Where's she been peeing? Shut up is the correct answer, right? And there's a point, and like you said, because it's a fairy tale, and so shut up is the correct answer a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My mouth all black now?
No.
Okay. It feels like
fine.
It is.
No. I guess it doesn't really do that. But yeah, I mean, that's fine. And other things that I liked more than I thought I would, right? So you got to.
So should we go through the list of the things that we liked about the movie and then.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. We're just kind of rambling.
I'm just
throw shit at the wall. Okay.
Fuck
fair.
It. So you throw in random new characters because you have to sell toys because that's all Star Wars is about. So like Slurms McKenzie. I didn't like Slurms McKenzie. That was dumb. But like. Little Conehead Robot was adorable.
Yeah.
I liked Little Conehead Robot.
Yep.
Also, it was interesting.
No,
was
thank
he
you.
Necessary? Was he necessary?
Nope.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Which is perfectly fine.
Not at all necessary. Although they do kind of use him because, like, he knows something and
something,
they use it.
Yeah, whatever.
I was surprised they didn't bring more attention to the fact that BB-8 revives him by charging his battery with some of his electricity.
Which took, like, 2 seconds, too, by the way.
But it's a direct analog to what Rey had just done and explained to BB-8. She just healed something using her own life force.
Oh,
and BB-8 heals
I didn't even
a droid.
Think about that.
It was and
nice.
I they didn't like call to it and I was like, "Oh, it's like he, you know, and so I expected him to be, you know, like, "Hey, look, I did the thing you did," but he didn't, whatever. Mm-hmm. But also little adorable mech guy, like repair dude.
Oh yeah. Oh god, what is
like
his
he
name?
Was dumb, and I don't give two shits about him, except the little guy who repairs three.
Oh yes,
yeah. And I can't think of his name right now.
I didn't give two shits about him. I can't remember his name except. I laughed out loud. The best joke in the whole movie, maybe my favorite joke in the whole 7, 8, 9 trilogy, is when C-3PO is like, oh, he's my oldest friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was great.
Because he's known him for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But he's had right after he came for back. 2 minutes and a second.
Yep.
My favorite part is like, alternatively, I have another thing that we could possibly roll.
Yeah,
C-3PO was easily one of the best parts of the film.
He's good in that. He's good.
Easily throughout the whole thing. Like, he was in there with the great one-liners. I liked how they used Anthony Daniels as one of the ship gunners later on. It was a nice sequence for there.
Oh, did they? I didn't
see. Yeah.
Was it Anthony Daniels? No, it was Wedge, wasn't it?
So my boy Wedge came back, and I almost came in my pants.
Yeah.
I squeed like a little girl getting a pony for Christmas when Wedge was in that gunner seat.
Yep.
And said, nice
Falcon,
flying
nice flying.
Longo.
Yeah.
I was just like, ah!
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I love my boy Wedge. I almost,
he does look like Anthony Daniels, though.
I almost
though, so
got
I see
home
you...
and changed my Facebook profile picture to a picture of Wedge from the original trilogy, but I didn't, you know, that would, you know, it's spoilery.
Yeah,
because
I mean, who cares that Wedge has a 2-second cameo? I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, except for me, obviously.
Yeah, no,
like,
I was.
I don't
excited.
Think anybody would be angry and consider it a spoiler. But even still, I was happy that I didn't know about it.
Did you go through the list, or did you see the list of voice actors that were used for
the Jedi part?
For the Jedi part,
I did not.
I did not. I recognize, I assumed.
It's basically everybody.
Yeah, I recognize like Sam Jackson, Liam Neeson, yeah.
Both Hayden Christensen and both versions of Obi-Wan.
Oh, Alec Guinness.
Alec Guinness was in there too.
And Ewan McGregor.
Yep. I cannot wait for
Ewan
McGregor.
They got Alec Guinness. Yeah. Like, he's hard to get a hold of nowadays.
I was just like, how did they? Wow. That's,
yeah, he
that's
brought
good.
Julia that series.
That's good. Yeah. Wow.
Now I will say so. An issue with both Starkiller Base in 7 and the fleet in this one versus the previous ones. So you have your Death Stars in episode 4 and 6. And in 4, you have an entire film that sets up how they get the plans for the Death Star.
Yep.
And even without that film, the movie starts with her having information, desperately needing to get the information to the Alliance, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
6, they have the whole thing going into the fact that all the Bothans who died getting this information, it's obviously a big deal that they got this info.
Mm-hmm.
In both 7 and 9, somebody goes, hey, look, there's this thing we just found out about. And someone else goes, I bet we can destroy it by XYZ. And everyone goes, yeah, makes sense. That's our plan. And then it works.
Sure.
And it'd be nice to have a little more than that.
Yeah.
A little nice than just a complete, let's pull this out of our ass, and it 100% was correct and worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, for example, in this one, maybe the little conehead droid was involved and they took that data off of it or something like that.
If I remember correctly, that shit failed in Jedi.
No.
Return of the Jedi. That shit failed because they all got all their ships going and then they flew directly out there. It was like, oh shit, there's a shield.
The plan was 100% successful, except that the shield didn't go down.
Yeah,
they didn't even get false info. They got accurate info, except the Emperor knew they got it and was waiting for them.
Sure, yeah.
He didn't think to change anything in the meantime.
Yeah.
Like, build a different shield generator or something.
Yep.
Whatever. But yeah, so there were complications, but...
Sure, yeah, never mind.
A whole bunch of ships with Death Star lasers on them.
Yeah, that was pretty, like, okay, I get it. It's been 30, 40 years, you know, whatever, they've been sitting there in this unimagined system before, you know, the home, whatever.
I could have done without the literally thousands of Star Destroyers.
Because even if it's, hundreds of Star Destroyers and they don't have Death Star lasers, that's still an overwhelming force compared to what the good guys have right now.
Correct.
Well, are you sure? Because, apparently Lando just has to go out there and, like, say, hey, we need your help. And then there's 15 fucking million ships that show up to this remote galaxy.
Why didn't they show up
last time? Exactly. Why didn't they show up for the Battle of Crait?
Yeah.
I mean, Poe's like, yeah, we put out the distress at the last battle and nobody showed up. Hot new you know, Carrie Russell in the. I mean, that is true.
Billy D.
Oh, never mind. I'll wait for that.
I like Lando, but I mean, when he said sitting there talking, I was like, yeah, we did it all with Han and Lan and that. And like, you tried to fucking fuck them over to make an extra dollar. That's.
I mean, that's true. But they had each other.
Until they fucked the deal with him.
Yeah.
He's a great character, but he is not somebody. He is not somebody who could go out in the world and say, "Hey, we need everybody's help to go and kill 1,000 Star Destroyers. Let's go."
So D&D reference. Brian's bringing it up. Yeah, natural 20 on the persuasion check because that's what he broadcast it in the core systems. Rolled that nat 20. Everybody's coming. That's all there was to it.
I mean, Lando's got a 20 in his charisma stat, obviously.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Yeah, totally.
Versus certain people, it doesn't work, though. I don't think it was a Leia that didn't buy any of his bullshit.
Well, I mean, Han's
Leia
pretty good in the charisma
really
department, too.
Perception,
okay. Yeah.
She rolled what? Insight really well contested.
Oh, so he's so Lando actually has maybe like a 13 charisma, but he has other buffs and abilities that gives it all the way to a 20.
Oh, he's got... I mean, he's leveled up.
He's natural.
He's got his
all natural.
Well,
yeah. I think you had a 20 charisma versus a 20 wisdom, and she just rolled better that time.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, I don't know. That just seemed crazy. Like the amount of ships, and I know you've got to always up that scale. You know, like we did this.
Do you?
I don't know. I mean, apparently that's what moviegoers want. I don't want that. I thought it was ridiculous, and I'm like, well, that's fucking stupid. Because the last movie, we put out a call for help, and nothing happened. And I know I'm not a huge Last Jedi fan, but I'm like, if you had that much help, even if you got a tenth of that,
I think that opens the door to we have to talk about the in the last movie they blanked. Because there was a lot of that was sat on in this one.
Well, and, you know, why don't we do the Holdo maneuver here? And they're like, oh, that's just too risky. We can't do that.
Because it ruins all tension ever.
It does.
That's a thing.
Why? Because if I can take a little X-Wing and hyperspace it through a Star Destroyer, that's a net profit for me.
Yeah. And one of the things I actually did like in Last Jedi was I thought it was, again, subverting expectations is a meme now, but Rey's parentage was built up from the very first trailer for Episode 7, and then after Episode 7 was built up even more. Who's her parents? Who's her parents? Is she an Obi-Wan? Is she a Skywalker? To have it be just fucking nobodies. She's just a random girl with random asshole parents that abandoned her for $50.
Oh, and I knew that.
Great.
The second
they walked it back.
Yeah, the second they brought J.J. Abrams in, I'm like, no, she has parents that we know about.
Yeah. Her parents her lineage being what it is was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I was cool with having her be a Palpatine. That's an interesting idea. But so was her being a nothing. And unfortunately, you know, you couldn't have both, and that was a little upsetting to me.
Kind of still had, I mean, it worked.
They tried to, they're like, oh, they became nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure thing from a certain point of view.
I mean, I just think,
here.
And you know, Brian's bringing this up in chat too. It's like, yeah, they had a plan to have three different directors, and I think, I don't know, I just think that was a huge mistake. Because like I said, the first half hour, I just kept thinking, man, if they had a plan, or at least an overall... I mean, they
you
made this.
You can have three different directors. You can have three different writers,
then,
but you have to have one singular vision.
Yes, exactly. And I think that was very obvious.
Trilogy. The original trilogy had three directors. The movie, the core writing was different people, but the arc, the whole arc from start
was
to finish
planned.
Was planned because originally it was one movie that Lucas wrote.
And sure.
That's why there's two Death Stars, is because it was only supposed to happen at the end of Jedi, but they needed something for the first movie, and so they added a second Death Star. In case you didn't know that.
But, yeah, no, that, I mean, I.
But yeah, you needed that singular vision.
You did, and they didn't have it. They just didn't, and I think that's, I mean, unfortunate, because I think if, honestly, I wouldn't have minded if Rian Johnson had been given it from the beginning and done his vision of a trilogy. I think it would have been great.
I still want to see it, like his own written, directed version of a trilogy, not dealing with the fucking Skywalkers, because that's the only thing that really kind of, that I didn't want to see in this, is just more and more telling of galaxy super huge, and everything is tied to all the characters that we know from the first movie.
So the numbered movies are all about a Skywalker. Like, they all are. Like, the first three are about Anakin, 4, 5, and 6 are about Luke, and which 7, 8, and 9 are about
they
Ben.
They really almost, you know, totally threw that out with, you know, Rey not being connected to anything.
Correct, I think, and that's why...
Because then Kylo has to be the bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't... Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think they...
He can still have his arc if she's not who she is.
A Palpatine, you think so? Mm-hmm. But then who... I mean, I guess.
It doesn't matter. She could just be a Force user. She could just be just...
But then a Skywalker isn't bringing balance to the Force.
Well,
it's she's ending the Skywalkers, but he coming back and doing what he did...
You could change the climax slightly, yeah. Right? You know, you could definitely have him showing down or in a different way. I mean, you could change it slightly, but mm-hmm. you can still have his redemption arc with her not being a Palpatine.
I mean, yeah. she doesn't have to be a Palpatine. She could just be somebody who's actually drawn to the dark side by Palpatine, mm-hmm. and therefore becoming like his apprentice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or they could have leaned more way. Into the Grey Jedi thing like they were hinting in Last Jedi.
Well, and that was the other thing, too. Like, people had talked about, the person I went to was like, well, I never thought Rey would ever turn to the dark side. And I'm like, I kind of thought she did in the second one. Like, she kind of felt like...
She was toeing the line.
She was toeing the line, I thought, you know, because the Grey Jedi thing was like a thing that I thought, well, maybe it'll just go that direction. I don't know. I guess that's just...
As Brian brings up in chat as well, every time a villain redeems themselves, they have to immediately die.
Yeah.
This is film law.
I honestly...
Because it's the only way to make sure the redemption sticks. Yeah. You don't have to worry about trusting them going forward because they're dead.
Yeah.
Every movie, that has to happen.
Yeah, that is, it's very
true. Does
that
mean Lando should have died?
The number of voices, he wasn't a...
He never really...
The number of voices in my theater,
yeah.
All of which were female, that hooted and hollered when they kissed, was hilarious
okay.
to me.
So Nate's going to shit all over my story in a second, but I have a great story to tell about this. So I took my son and my daughter to see it on Saturday. And we went to a 10 o'clock showing, which I thought, you know, I know my kids, you know, he's 13. He stays up all night. He's playing video games or whatever. But I'm like, 10 o'clock should be fine. He should be able to. He fell asleep when Rey got to Palpatine. He woke up to Kylo and Rey kissing and was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, so he misses the whole fight scene there. He misses all of it. He sees them kiss and him die and is like, I'm looking at my daughter. My daughter is 11. She's looking away because she's like, I don't want to see them kissing. That's, you know, gross. To her, that's gross. Which
she's
I'm like,
Princess Briding it up.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. It was great. And then I look just beyond her, and my son's got this look on his face like, and I didn't understand why he had that shocked, like, face. And then I found out he had just woken up and was completely missed. And yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So is that a terrible story, Nate, or is that good?
That was a great story.
Sorry, see, I had to.
I
glad anyway.
I really liked. I feel like I really want to watch the trilogy again and all together to mm-hmm. see if it affects me any different. But man, I really liked Ben's story arc.
I honestly wish he would have lived. I was actually when they kissed, I thought, oh man, this would be kind of. But I knew they weren't going to make any more movies. But I'm like, wouldn't we love to see what the Rey Ben dynamic would have been going forward? At least, like, you know, fixing the galaxy. Maybe they go on adventures together. And
in 20 years, when they make 10, 11, 12,
fair. We'll get to find out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was surprised and a little annoyed by when she's on the ruins of the Death Star. And mm-hmm. then he's there all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was another Force thing.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that he would just randomly have flown there and have landed his ship there and would just be there. That wouldn't make any sense.
He said he knew immediately where she was when they talked about, like, he was, well, I know where she's going. And I'm like, well, how the hell do you know where she's going? You know, I'm like, she had to get this knife to tell her.
Like, you can't even see each other when you're Force projecting and talking to each other. All you can really do is you can, yeah.
Speaking of the knife, straight up Goonies.
Oh, yeah,
straight
totally.
Up Goonies. She pulls out the thing and she has to line it up with the rocks to figure out where to go, it was like the coin in the Goonies.
Yeah, I loved you so much.
She pulled that out, I was like,
they're
going to
do it. Yeah, they're going to line that up with the dish on the thing and then the, oh, that's going to be great.
I missed that part. She had
the knife
really
like lined up with the rock
formation.
The
cross hilt there's a part that pulls out
and then lined up with exactly. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
With a crash Death Star?
Yes.
Yeah.
She lines up like the jagged edge on it with the ruins. So the knife was made after the Death Star crashed, apparently, to be shaped like the ruins
and apparently,
of the Death Star.
So that water pushing it never moved the Death Star from that.
So it's not the same thing as the Goonies, though, because the Goonies coin was made like 200 years before the lighthouse and the thing existed.
Listen.
Fair.
But when did Chester Copperpot
find the Death Star?
When did Chester
Cobblepot? I always like, why does that explorer and the penguin have the same goddamn name? It always messes me up.
Yeah.
Is it the same?
It's Copperpot and Cobblepot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great.
No, I unfortunately drank some soda and I had to exit the theater and well, I left it right there because I don't
poor
remember
planning,
that sequence.
Poor planning.
Yeah. I got some most of it else though.
I was surprised my daughter, who has the bladder of a walnut, made it through the whole movie too. Which I mean, we got there early, so we had to sit through 40 minutes of previews because the 20 minutes before the movie starts and then the 20 minutes as you're supposed to be seeing it. Whatever, it's fine. But she made it through. I was surprised because I was like, "Well, I've already seen it once." I mean, that's why I plan to see movies like that twice because, and I don't care.
I managed to get through without peeing, and nowadays, like, I can go, you know, hours without peeing at home and at work, but for some reason when I go to a movie theater, I mean, part of it's that I drink a gallon of Diet Coke, mm-hmm.
sure,
you know, in the first 10 minutes, but I can't make it all the way through
just
a movie
can't do
anymore.
That. All right, so what else do we like about Star Wars? Were we all okay with Rey being a Palpatine? I mean,
it didn't matter to me.
It didn't matter to really, you?
I mean, it was a surface detail.
Well, she's a Skywalker. And
that's her adopted family.
But
if it is, that means you made out with your adopted brother?
Brother? I mean, they do that with the Skywalker family, so
Which
it's okay.
It? Like, who are it's you like she's adopted you, Luke or Leia? Because they can't be your mom and your dad.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Was either of you wishing that when she returned to Tatooine, there would be two skeletons lying around?
Sure.
I was really, I'm like, that's a perfectly good moisture farm. Nobody's been using it for like 30 years.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of moisture built up there.
I wanted two skeletons
just
still
sitting
there
that nobody had moved.
And then like when they're going through it, having some credits in that, what they should have did, I didn't even think about this until afterwards. They should have had like a kind of like what they did for Endgame, where they had the big shot of like all the actors in that have the signatures, the plates, kind of like what they did with Star Trek.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, you mean what they did in
Star Trek Six,
the Undiscovered Country?
But I mean, it's so classy when they did that for Endgame too. It was just really cool seeing the page picture of the actor, the autograph, and the kind of the send off in that. That would have been amazing if they did that for everyone there, and then have.
Baru and Owen, their skeletons just laying there.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
I've seen the action playset, so too, of the toy of the skeletons and Oyster Farm.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the like the action figure of the horse from Neverending Story.
Yeah, that's sinking in the. Yeah. Awesome.
No, but I don't know. The ending was fine. I liked the film. I thought it was weird that somebody would just randomly wander up on a 30-year-old moisture farm. And
sure.
Like, who are you?
I mean, what's your last
she's
name?
She's from the neighboring farm, and she's a really noisy neighbor. And she's like, who's this at the old Skywalker place?
Yeah.
Or not Skywalker.
No. What?
Were they even Skywalker?
Well, except he's Luke Skywalker. Like, he didn't discover his name was Skywalker.
Yeah.
I don't know what Owen and Beru's names even were. I hope it wasn't
They were Skywalker. Lars. It was Owen and Beru Lars.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So,
I mean, but I mean, Lars was
the old Lars place.
Well, the Lars was Shmi Skywalker's second husband. Well, actually, first husband because she didn't actually.
Yeah, she just got force.
She got force boinged, yes, again.
Fucking prequels. Can we just tangent off that I don't believe any of the fucking propaganda you've been seeing. So the issue is the prequels are like 20 years old now.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of people who grew up on them as children and now they're old enough to make their own YouTube videos and write their own articles. So they're trying to defend those movies and say they're better than you remember. No, they fucking aren't.
No. Nope.
All three of them are hot garbage trash.
Here's –
yeah.
And this is going to be crazy old Andy talking here, but – here's the reason why the prequels don't work and the regular series works, is because they don't take the Star Trek method. And the Star Trek method is to explain everything and then do it. So, like, if there's an episode about this fucking robot that comes sentient later on, they have to explain that it has something wrong with it that does something in there. That's how Star Trek does it, and that's how the prequels did it, is we couldn't just have the Force just be something that's just there and you're able to do certain things with it. Nope, it's something that's in your blood, or that's in your cells,
I think
cells
it's
of your body.
Even that. I think it's even simpler than that. I mean, you're right, but that's one aspect of it. The problem with the prequels over the original trilogy is that George Lucas was in charge of them. Because here's the thing with the original trilogy. The first movie was hot fucking garbage. It was irredeemable trash until his wife got her hands and some scissors on it and made a tolerable movie out of a terrible one. Mm-hmm. If you ever see what Star Wars Episode 4 was like before she edited it, it is one of the worst movies you will ever see in your life. 5 and 6, he did not write or direct. He was hands-off on that shit because they knew that he was terrible. 1, 2, and 3, he was the singular vision behind him, yeah. And he is terrible. He's a guy who's like, let's put a 50s diner into my goddamn Star Wars movie. And as Brian just mentioned in chat, Attack of the Clones, not only the worst Star Wars movie, this is pretty much a quote from I was listening to Macaulay Culkin's podcast, Bunny Ears, and one of the recent ones had the Red Letter Media guys on there, and Rich Evans said something that had not occurred to me, and I do agree with him. Dollar for dollar, for its budget, Attack of the Clones is the worst film ever made in human history. I have seen worse films that were made on a shoestring budget in the woods with a camcorder, but I have never seen a worse $150 million movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is fucking terrible.
And the thing is, you can complain about the acting and everything in that movie, but I mean, Natalie Portman won a fucking Oscar.
She's a good actor. They're all good actors.
And Hayden Christensen, yeah, it's just the way Lucas does it. And Ewan McGregor, they're all amazing, and yet that movie is shit.
When I saw Attack of the Clones in the theater, we saw it once, went home, blocked it from my memory. Fucking, like, because episode 3 was going to come out, and I could not remember Attack of the Clones. So my wife and I, we rented the movie from Blockbuster. We watched, like, 20 minutes. We turned to each other and were like, I cannot stomach 2 more seconds of this film. So we turned it off. We went to bed. The next day, we continued from where we were, watched another, like, 15, 20 minutes of it, and returned it to Blockbuster. And that's the last time I watched Attack of the Clones, because it's fucking hot trash.
Yeah. So I finally got my son to watch the Star Wars movies, and we started with Episode 4. We watched it.
Machete order, 4, 5.
4, 5. No, we did 4, 5, 6.
Oh, okay.
And then we did 1, 2, 3.
Okay. So you did release order.
We did release order. So 4, we do it. Next night, he's like, can we watch 5? I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can do this. Sure. So we watched.
Did you have the specialized editions, or were you having to make do with what's available?
I have, like, whatever the DVD,
sure.
What
you
got now.
So you don't have the despecialized.
I don't have the despecialized. Yeah. And again, you know,
you
we talked about.
You can't legally get them, but if you want a copy, I know a guy with a thumb drive.
I have the VCR copies of the original, but I don't have a VCR anymore to play them. But I still have those special, the normal editions, the true editions on VCR that they released, I don't know, in the early 90s, yeah. I think, is when they were.
Before the
THX enhanced VHS editions were the last ones, and that was 92, 93.
Something like that. Anyway, so I had those, but I'm like, disc. I had no way to watch them. But so we were watching DVDs. So we watched, next night, we watched 5. Next night, he's like, can we watch? I'm like, I'm not prompting this at all. Normally, right. I have to force my kids to do some of these things. He wanted to watch 6. So then we watched 6 the next night. Then we go, and I kind of explain to him, I'm like, all right, and then these movies came out, and I kind of like, whenever you want to, so we got through 1,
the
and he was okay.
Bad. The least bad, but
we
least
got
essential.
To 2. We got to 2. He watched it about 15 minutes. He's like, "Yeah, I'm done. I can't do this anymore." I'm like, 1 was kind of a struggle. Like, we paused it, and then we walked away, and then we came back the next night and finished it. Then it was probably about a week later. He's like, "Yeah, let's watch episode 2." I'm like, "Okay." 15 minutes in, he's like, "He's out." Yeah. He's out. And I'm like, yeah,
so bad.
I can't argue with you.
And it only gets worse.
I mean, I own them
along.
Because I'm an idiot and I have to have the whole collection, but
there's some sequences in 3.
People try to put 3 up. When I am bored of 2 space wizards fighting on a lava planet, that's the sign that your film is fucking terrible.
Right? Yeah.
That whole sequence there just... Oh, actually, hold on. That was another thing I really liked about 9 was the swordplay. Mm-hmm. The swordplay was not fucking gymnastics 101. It was just swordplay. And it was good.
Like, it was between two people who were emotionally invested in their fight.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the original trilogy, well, and I think you and I, Andy, talked about this, the people who recently, somebody like made like a super action-packed redo of the Vader-Obi-Wan fight from 4, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see Kung Fu flips from a septuagenarian and a guy on life support. What matters in that duel is the emotions behind it.
And the reason behind it. He was buying time so they can escape. That was the only reason why he was doing that.
Well, I think if you want to look into the deeper reason, I think why he did it, because Luke needed to have the wings cut at that point. And, Obi-Wan knew Luke wasn't going to become who Luke was going to be unless he was gone.
And none of that is helped by them doing kung fu backflips.
That is 1,000% correct.
And ditto. Empire Strikes Back, you know? I mean, it's ugly. Like, Vader's just throwing he's throwing chunks of metal at the kid, you know?
Yeah.
It's ugly and brutal. Jedi is my favorite duel in all the series because there's so much heart behind what's happening. Mm-hmm. You care.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've always
equated it to, remember Star Wars? Star Wars, the role-playing game?
Uh-huh.
When Luke steals the lightsaber from the Emperor, he used the dark side point for that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, just Luke, absolutely.
Well, and even before that, like and even if he didn't use a dark side point there, the moment that Vader realizes Leia's his sister and says, never mind,
we'll just
go for Leia. The raw outrage that pours from Luke is 100%.
And he screams, and
him turning to the dark side.
Yeah,
that and that fucking matters, right? You feel it. And again, to rewind, yes, this is a fairy tale about space wizards, so you can't take it too seriously on a macro scale. But those emotions still matter,
and that's really 9. To go back to it, there were so many of those moments I felt that were real moments. And I know some people kind of felt the Ben Ray kiss was forced. Sure. They didn't see it. And maybe it was, but I still think I believed it. I don't know.
It might be a toss up with Luke, but with the possible exception of Luke, the emotional investment I had in Kylo Ren from those three films blows any character out of the water in that entire series.
Yeah.
He is from moment one. And I've said it before, and you know, I'm proud of the way I phrase it, so I'll say it again now. But the smartest thing they did in episode 7 was they easily, and this is the kind of thing Lucas did with Darth Maul, right? They easily could have tried to give us another Darth Vader and failed. So instead, they gave us somebody failing to be another Darth Vader. And that was so brilliant on a character level.
Yeah.
To see someone who wants to be evil and is being tempted by good, the reverse of what we've seen before. Mm-hmm. Such an emotional investment.
Yeah, and it was – and honestly, and I hated him so much in that movie, but it was a good hate.
Yeah.
You were like, God, you are so pathetic because you're trying to be evil and you can't even get that right. And then, you know, you see him in 8, you know, and he's turning, you know, it's funny. He's getting reamed out by Snoke for being this pathetic little wannabe. And then he turns around and he's trying to bring Rey. He's like, no. And he's completely the opposite. He is in control and you're seeing him at the height of his powers. And then, you know, they take out Snoke, and then here in this one, you know, him being the supreme, you know, leader or whatever. I don't know. It was an amazing job. And Adam Driver, that dude is good. I enjoyed watching his arc.
He's got a weird
rectangular torso. He does. I mean, that. Other than that, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's his
with the high pants. The
blue Oh my dude, why?
His overall story arc is so good.
I mean,
that's why I want to watch the whole thing again.
And what do you have in the prequels that matches anything like that?
You
have nothing. Well, you have nothing.
I mean, you go back to the Red Letter Media's fucking Plinkett review of episode 1. It's like, name a character of the prequels without mentioning who they are or what they do or what they wear.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't. You can't. But you could talk about Han Solo.
Yeah. Scoundrel with a heart of gold.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. You could talk about actually Kylo Ren easily.
Talk about
He's somebody who wants to be something that he isn't.
Yeah.
And he... Yeah, it gave me shivers with him being the good guy. I kind of wish that Rian Johnson had put a little bit more of the Knights of Ren into his thing. I know that was one of the things he shuttered out. It would have been nice to have them be a little bit more established before they were in 9.
Yeah.
Because they were
nice
merely...
they did more in 9.
Yeah, it would have been nice because, when they called them ghouls, I'm like, oh, I want to see what these guys are about. You know? And, they threw the spy's head on the table or whatever and... You know, whatever.
Yeah, they really didn't do much.
They
at
didn't
all.
Do much, and then yeah, like, I mean they were there for Ben to kick the shit out of at the end because he had to get the lightsaber pass from.
They were near to the good guys' ship that they scavenged when Chewie got kidnapped,
and then
they weren't
didn't
directly involved, and they didn't attack them. And then there was another transport ship that we didn't see somehow, and
it was there. It was there. In the second viewing, you can see there's one parked a little bit. Yeah, you do see it when you're looking for it. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't.
That,
why would you even think about that? Because they're kind of right on top of each other, I think. But
that reveal is fucking awesome too. Because now watching it, I'm sure watching it the second time, knowing that she's a Palpatine and that she just force lightnings the shit out of that ship.
Yeah,
like because that was before you even knew. Nobody else really has done that before, besides Yoda calling lightning down. But fuck,
yeah.
I thought that would have been a fine way to put out Chewie.
Would have been, but it would be a little if that happened, then she's the one who has to die at the end.
Sure, exactly. Because she killed Chewie. Yeah, no, legit. Because I was like, is that
how his emotional response to Leia dying because he didn't get a hug from her in 7? So yeah, he had to do something there.
J.J. Abrams talked about that. That was one of the things that he regretted the most about making 7 was that was not. Like,
that was right
I don't know.
There with Jon Snow not petting Ghost when he
sure.
No, you pet that fucking dog.
Well, and then they asked
you spend the money to do that.
Yeah, exactly. No shit. I mean, come on. You guys are making enough money there on Game of Thrones. You can CGI that in. No, but Abrams said, because people asked him if he'd go back and fix that. Like Lucas fixed things, quote unquote, in the original trilogy, and J.J. Abrams is like, no, I'm not gonna go back. It's a huge mistake on my part. I effed up, but it's art. So sorry.
They can easily do that, though.
I mean, they totally could have. They just take a shot that Chewie isn't there, so you don't see him walking by Leia.
Oh, mine would have been a lot more complicated. I would have cut out Rey and put in Chewbacca.
Chewbacca just photoshopped.
Yeah.
That no, I just would have found a shot where you didn't have Chewie walking right by Leia. Somehow. I mean, I don't know if you had that, but whatever.
So, I mean, we've been kind of gushing over the film for a little bit here. I would like to start off with the things I didn't like about the film.
Okay.
I didn't like the treatment of Rose.
Yeah, she really had nothing to do in this movie at all. And that's... I mean, I know there was a lot of fan hate for her in the first one, but I think it was just because of the whole Casino Planet just made no sense.
It was unnecessary.
It was unnecessary, and...
No, well... I mean, if you want to be charitable, you can say that's the reason for the fan hate. The reason for the fan hate is that most middle-aged nerds are angry white men who hate women and minorities.
That's what I was talking about. The unnecessary is the amount of hatred and vitriol that was spewed out towards
her. I mean, she
was not necessary at all. Yeah. She was.
If she was just some random white dude who was off on an adventure with Finn, friend, none of that would have happened.
So I will say one thing I did hate about this movie was Hobbit Boy being so prominent in this movie.
Yeah. Why was he even there?
I don't know. I'm like, I keep calling him Charlie because he was Charlie in Lost. I don't know if you watched Lost or whatever.
Yeah,
so
no,
I'm like,
Charlie
I was,
Lost.
I don't know. Was he Pippin or Mary? I don't even remember which one.
I can never remember which one's Mary and which one's Pippin.
I can never remember again. Either. So I just kept switching it up and I'm like, God damn it. What the fuck is Mary doing here?
I think it was Pippin.
Either way, I don't give two shits. Why was he fucking there and why was he talking?
His goofy fucking face was everywhere in the background.
Yeah. It was. Every time you couldn't.
Billy Lord I'm okay with because...
I would be okay with
Billy Lord?
She's Carrie Fisher's daughter.
Yeah.
And she was...
And she's also... Yeah, anyway. Sorry.
She was in Scream Queens.
She was in Scream Queens, yes.
Oh, okay.
You'd recognize her if she showed a picture. She's in a lot of scenes. Oh, well... her and her mom.
But she was in the guy. She was in. She was in seven too, and she was in eight too. Yeah. So I don't have a problem with her.
And she's not being Hobbit
there.
Boy.
And she's not the fucking Hobbit boy being there. And like, oh yeah, why don't we do the Holdo maneuver?
I'm like, add a random. I'll be charitable and say famous person to your movie.
It is charitable.
It's distracting when they're not like a main character.
Yeah.
Like if you're like, now here's a new main person and they're played by a famous person, that's fine. But a random background extra being played by somebody that recognizable.
Yeah.
And it's not just like a one-off cameo.
Exactly. If he had just said one thing one time, but they had him in the background all the time. I'm like.
Which I guess then it's continuity. But I don't know.
No, I just. Just show me Billy Lord all the time. That's the one person I want to see.
Life, just show me Billy Lord all the time.
Whew. Yeah.
I like Billy
That's Lord. Billy Boyd. That's the other Hobbit.
Yeah, that's not Billy Lord.
That's so, not so Billy
it wasn't,
Lord.
So it wasn't Pippin, so then it was Mary then.
Okay, so Mary.
Fun trivia. The
He also dated Dominic Evangeline Lilly. Did you know that? Dominic Monaghan dated Evangeline Lilly because they were on Lost together. And yeah, I'm like, how the fuck does the Hobbit get... Anyway, whatever. That's a whole nother tangent. That bothered me a lot.
One of the rebel fighters.
Why didn't you have Rose? Rose could have said every single one of his lines.
That is true. The kind of huskier guy is the guy that Leia says to like be optimistic.
Yeah, yeah.
He is the only person Greg Grumbert. Who's been in Star Wars and Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's I think he was good friends.
He's like a security chief in one of the new Trek movies.
He was in Alias. I believe so. Yep.
He's been in a lot of JJ.
Claim to fame. It's kind of like the Bill Paxton only person to be killed by Predator, Alien, and Terminator. although now, well, yes, because of the AVP crossover, Lance Henriksen also was killed by a Predator, an Alien, and a Terminator. He wasn't Bishop. The android wasn't technically killed by an alien because it's Ripley who dismantles him on the junk pile in Alien 3. Anyway.
Okay, yeah.
But that's his claim to fame, is that he's the only guy that's been in Star Trek and Star Wars.
And he was in...
Alias.
He was in Alias. But he was also... I'm saying he was in Episode 7.
Well, he was in...
So he was... Like,
yeah, he was already there.
Dominic Monaghan was not in any of these other movies, and he was here, and he was saying things all the time in the background, or he was just there in the background. It bothered me. And, like, you could have just had somebody else...
You could have put anybody there. You could have put Lando there. And Lando would have been more
or
believable.
Some random extra who isn't an actor we recognize that'll be distracting.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, he probably is fans with JJ and said, hey, I'd love to be in this movie, so he got to be in the movie. But
he was in Lost.
He was in Lost. Yeah.
Do like Daniel Craig. Put him in an alien mask. Have him voice the little dude.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. Something like that.
Simon Pegg. Would anybody recognize? I know it's Simon Pegg, and I still don't believe that's Simon Pegg in Episode 7.
Oh, really? What was he? What was
He's
he
the portions guy.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's Simon goddamn Pegg.
But I never.
You'll never know, but no. Simon Pegg gets to be in a Star Wars movie,
Daniel,
and it doesn't distract me.
Daniel Craig is one of the stormtroopers that does the interrogation.
Speaking of which, we're so glad you're here. It was also a great laugh out loud moment in this one. You're relieved that we're here. Oh, man, we're so glad you're here.
no, that actor also played in Heroes as well.
Yeah. Yep.
I cannot think of his name, but
Greg Grunberg is his name.
You're going to pull the strings to have your friends get to be in a Star Wars
and that
movie,
is
but
fair.
They can be Slugs McGee, right?
Yeah.
You can hide it.
He's fine because he was a pilot in
Freaking
the previous
Carrie
ones
Russell.
Too.
You never see Carrie Russell.
Yeah.
Although you see her booty in that outfit.
Sure. I didn't like. I don't know. That was kind of another one of those jarring moments. It wasn't as bad. Obviously, but then, you know, they have her and, like, Rey and her have their little fight when they first meet up, and then she's like, I know you're not going to care, but I like you. Rey had some really weird lines that just fell flat when she said them, and that kind of bothered me a little bit. Like, when she was saying to Lando, too, you know, Lando's like, tells her, well, give Leia my love, and then, well, you should do that yourself or something like that or whatever she said in response. And I'm like, I don't know. It's Star Wars. It's not Shakespeare, I guess not.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was supposed to be her like encouraging Lando to actually come and
show
join
up.
The rebellion.
Yeah.
Because he
I mean, I understand why she said it. It just fell really flat. There were just a couple of those moments where I was like, hey, that didn't work. But I mean, that's a Star Wars movie. I don't expect it to be perfect, I guess, all the time. Another thing that really bothered me, what the fuck was Finn doing in the Death Star wreck when Rey was going to get the Sith transponder or whatever? Like, what was Finn doing there when they were fighting? Like, I know he was going there to try to
save... He found the other skiff. So he can go out there.
So he can go out there. But why? It just bothered me that he was out there.
Yeah, he knows the
layout. He served no purpose.
He knows the layout.
Well, you know what?
He's a former stormtrooper.
The skiff he brought over is how... Oh, no, never mind. She leaves in Kylo's ship.
She leaves in Kylo's ship.
How does Kylo
leave? How does Kylo leave? That is a great question. Because then he shows up on Exegol with a TIE fighter.
Maybe it's a TIE fighter that was still in the wreckage of the Death Star.
Maybe. Maybe. I was wondering that myself.
Been, like, missing some panels and shit.
Yeah.
How do you think that X-Wing smelled?
Yeah, exactly.
The one that Luke raised? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that was not great.
Yeah.
I
wanted to see at
some
least
porgs.
The,
probably some porgs, yeah.
I wanted to see the 10-minute montage of them cleaning that thing out.
Hilarious. He raises it up. It's all dramatic. Hey. And then it smash cuts to her just like it's like Pulp Fiction. Just the back, like, scrubbing it.
Yeah.
Why am
they're
I in the
wearing,
back on this? This is your X-Wing. You're
UC
on
Santa D. Cruz Banana Slugs t-shirt, you know?
I also wish that that Luke would have did the same thing with the lightsaber after he caught it. He was like, that's a Jedi weapon. It's been by respect. And
yeah, throw it away. Yeah, he just tossed it.
Yeah. How does she have that that gun? Or how does she have that lightsaber?
Which one?
What's her face? That was
Oh, Maz Kanata. How does Maz Kanata know everything that's about to happen? Like, she's like, oh, well, she's gonna
butthole eyes.
Is that what it is? Because she knows, like, when Leia,
you get pink eye and you can see the future.
Is that how it works?
I don't know.
Damn it, I'm gonna get pink eye so I can do this.
But yeah, where you did just... she get that lightsaber from? I mean,
where did she get the lightsaber from?
Cloud City must have found it and she got it somehow.
And she got it somehow. But then she also knows. She knows when Leia's going to go, like, Leia knows what she has to do, and she sacrifices herself to contact Ben and distract him. And she knows this somehow. I'm like,
somebody had to say it because Leia couldn't, because they didn't have archival audio of
her.
Carrie Fisher saying, I know what I have to do.
I'm going to go fuck over my son.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it was just, there were a bunch of moments. There was another moment where she had to, where I'm like, how the fuck do you know this shit?
Another nitpick that I've heard people say, and it's kind of a valid point, is what did Finn want to say to Rey?
That he was force sensitive.
That's
what I think it was.
But, like, why?
Why couldn't he say that in front of Poe? I don't know.
And never say it ever.
Yeah,
he's
and never
say
it
something
ever.
When they're going to die,
it is
she
true.
Asks, what are you going to say? He doesn't tell her. Then Poe asks, "What were you going to say?" He doesn't say it. Then it's never brought
up
again.
I was really upset about that too, because I thought, because he kept talking about having this feeling, and then they meet up with I don't know, remember who the other ex stormtrooper was that they met on Endor or the moon of Endor. You know, I'm like, why don't you guys get into this a little bit? Because the thing is, I always thought, how the hell does Rey in episode 7, how does she fight Kylo Ren to a standstill? And then Finn also does for a little bit, and then he gets his ass kicked. But he does it for a little bit. He's fighting with just... I'm like...
In fairness, now I'm gonna jump in on that one.
Sure.
This one I hear all the time, and there is an answer, because people ask this one all the time.
Yeah,
they're like, Kylo Ren's supposed to be so good, and some random ex-stormtrooper and some lady with no training fight him, you know, really well.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, they're both combat trained. Like, we saw her
kick two guys at once.
More importantly, he was just shot in the gut by a weapon that three times previously in the film we saw people shot,
and they just flew a thousand yards away. Okay, no,
I get that. He was shot by a howitzer, and he was still fighting.
No, I understand that. I guess my point is, how does someone who has no force sensitivity use a lightsaber?
Sure. Without cutting their own legs off.
Without cutting his own legs off or whatever. I mean, that's more the point. I mean, that didn't bother me. Because,
Damn, episode 7, why wasn't the random dude with the stun baton that fights Finn, why wasn't that Phasma?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
Why isn't that Phasma?
I don't know. They kind of dropped the ball on that whole character. Like, I was hoping there would be something, because she looked...
Well, they promised she'd be the next Boba Fett, and they were right. She looked cool, had two lines,
and then died. And then fell into fire and died.
Yeah, it basically
she's straight up.
She fell. She fell into the Sarlacc pit. Of
she did have the coolest outfit though, man. If I had a silver,
was that
stormtrooper outfit?
That's
I would wear it. I would wear it all the time.
No, but that was the ship that because she that's why the ship exploded, because that was after they light speeded it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also,
it was the Holdo maneuver, Andy. That's what Holdo maneuver.
Note. You give me Gwendolyn Christie
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in an Iron Man outfit
mm-hmm.
fighting a dragon in space, and you have just made $1 billion with the best Metroid film ever.
Yeah?
Yeah.
God damn it, Hollywood, do all, that.
No, hold on. We got to have some overbearing guy who tells her that when she can use her powers.
Can we have Gina Carano do that, too? I'd be okay with that. We can take her character from The Mandalorian, which I've heard she's in. I really want to see that. Anyway. Sorry. He's upset. He just really...
He knew I was going to do that. The second he brought that up.
That's the reverse of me bringing up, like, Ultra Magnus. Goddamn Other M. Fuck. You misogynistic pieces of shit.
So you've heard of Other M, right?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
You know what it's about. It's basically, it's a Metroid game, except for instead of you finding the power-up items,
you are given.
You have all those power-ups.
You're not given.
She has them all from the start, but she can't use them until the boy she has a crush on tells her she can.
She can use it. Yeah, okay, yeah.
She will die in don't lava you have to... instead of turning on her Varia suit because the boy she has a crush on, not even her boyfriend, she just has the hots for him. There's no relationship. The guy that she has a crush on didn't tell her that she could use the don't die in lava suit that she's already fucking wearing.
Are we stealing all these from you?
You can go ahead.
All
right. Goddamn, you revolutionized the industry by having a strong female protagonist in the early 1980s in your goddamn video game, and this is what you do to her. Fucking Metroid Other M.
I'm thinking that Metroid 4 is just basically... Yeah. Is just basically they were like they made it and they were like, oh man, she is too strong of a lead character, because that's when Nintendo said, okay, we got to redo this, and so that's when they're
so fucking dumb.
Yeah,
I only did that because I knew it was.
I brought it up.
Yeah, you walked into it.
Anyway, yeah, Star Wars. I'll see it again tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't like. I did not like Last Jedi, so I did not. I have not seen it again, and I honestly do want to give it another shot. Now that I've seen the whole trilogy, and this is Brian brought this up earlier. Phantom Menace was worse because of Attack of the Clones, and that is how all the movies work. Four, if five isn't amazing, four is shitty. If one, I think one would have been an okay starting point. If two is good, and I think seven suffers because eight wasn't as universally loved. Mm-hmm. And nine did, I mean, JJ.
And nine suffers the other direction because of eight. Like, yeah. Nine, there's still bad blood people have in it, but more importantly, even if you don't hate eight, nine suffers because it has to retcon a bunch of
stuff
from eight.
Yes, exactly. And that is.
Feels so breakneck because they devote time to doing that.
Yeah. If they didn't have to, if JJ Abrams or whoever, if they had had an overall plan saying, yes, this is what we have to do, I think the movies, I mean, I really honestly enjoyed them all. Eight being the least for me, but I mean, it's still better than any of the prequels. So you know, that's the thing. It's always with trilogies and stuff, that second movie kind of helps. And then, yeah, like you said, there were a lot of things that they had to just like, yeah, we can't do the Holdo maneuver anymore because of why?
Oh, your parents aren't nobodies.
Aren't nobodies. Why?
I don't think The Holdo maneuver, I think, is basically like a can of worms that was opened up.
Right,
like,
so they had to close it.
They had to close that.
But did they really? They just said, we can't do it. That's all they said.
It would have been a better explanation of maybe of the resources that go into to make the hyperdrives or to make the drives in that. It is too expensive.
Yeah, I mean, but if we take out one of their, you know.
Well, then it's.
We should just make really.
Us,
yeah.
So we can't.
Yeah.
You know. If you have 20 kamikaze pilots against 50 ships, even if every one of them takes out a ship, you now
still
lost. And
yeah. Yeah, that's true.
The one, it's a minor thing, but I will say I am sad because this was my last opportunity to get it. I never got two capital ships broadsiding each other like full on Master Commander style.
Oh, yeah. That's
I wanted
true.
To see that just once in Star Wars.
Yeah,
they kind
never
of
showed it.
Did at the beginning of 3.
You see it like you see it kind of happening, but you don't have like.
Yeah, it's just a chaos. Inside. It's a chaos battle, but it is.
Yeah,
the beginning
because the focus
Starship
is all on
is really cool. At the beginning
I
mean,
of you
see
three. Some shit in the back, but I'm talking about like you know think about even like Master Commander or like Pirates of Caribbean the first one like we know at the. There's
yeah, you see a broadside.
Flying.
Yeah.
My specific example of the greatest moment of that is the last episode of the first season of Black Sails. When the Spanish war galleon and the walrus encounter each other.
I've not seen Black Sails either.
It was on Stars, wasn't it? And
yeah, it's on Hulu now, I think. It was on HBO. I don't know, but there's like four or five seasons, and each season is better than the previous season. It goes from a B- to A++. It's cool. Phenomenal.
Yeah. I've heard good things about it. So.
But yeah, there's a great moment in it where like there's a ship, and there's a vastly smaller ship. And mm-hmm. they're trying to, like, sneak past the big ship. And they're like, you know, because if they attack us, we're fucked. And then something goes badly. And the big ship rotates. And then you see all the little windows just start opening up. And it's like, oh, sweet Jesus. And then,
yeah.
And then there's only one ship.
Yep. That's how that works.
Fucking Mastery Commander is such a glorious film.
Amazing. Yeah. And I just wanted to see that. I want to see a Star Destroyer just vaporize some Nebulan B.
Yeah.
What other – so I guess I didn't really do that much research, or I didn't really mind that much. What other things did they actually retcon from 8 to 9? I mean, not really retcon, though, but I mean, like, the whole thing about her parents meaning nothing, technically, I mean, it was written in a way that it made sense from the previous iterations from it. It wasn't just because they
– what do you mean by it was written in a way that makes sense?
Her parents being nobodies makes sense, or
her parents being Palpatine's children makes sense with her parents being nobodies? Because that's the issue. As of episode 8, when the reveal is that her parents are nobodies, that's fine and I love it.
Yeah.
But in episode 9, the reveal is her parents are the...
It was Palpatine's son.
Yeah, right. Her dad being Palpatine's son is not her dad being a nobody.
Yeah.
And her parents being literally just random nobodies. Would have been fine by me.
In the world there, currently, they believe that Palpatine was dead.
Sure.
And so somebody who would have been Palpatine's son would have probably tried to distance himself from ever being known as Palpatine's son.
Or even before he was dead. Like, it could have been some secret bastard child.
Correct.
That Palpatine mm-hmm. never told anybody that he existed. And, you know, and that's fine. They could have gone into it. But they had to address the disparity between my grandpa is the emperor and my parents are people of no import whatsoever.
Yeah.
There's a conflict there that had to be addressed. And it's not like it took a half hour of the film to correct it. You know, ditto with, like, the Holdo maneuver.
Yeah, they just mention it and then, no, we can't do that.
I guess what I'm saying is not a correct, is just more a further explain.
Well, they also did basically shit over The Last Jedi by Lando going out and getting everybody to show up. The Battle of Crait.
Oh, yeah, true.
You know what I mean? Like, how you put out the distress for the Battle of Crait, and you got nobody. And then, like I said, you're going out to Exegol, which is this planet that nobody has ever been to, and you managed to get 20 million ships.
Nobody. Think about how well Episode 9 capitalized on the romance they established in Episode 8 between Finn and Rose.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. They didn't. I mean, they could have. I mean, there were moments there where you were thinking, well, maybe it could, and then nope, he just gave her a little shoulder pat, and when we do this or whatever, you know, when we find the fleet or whatever.
And then they just give him a random different love interest.
Yeah.
He's had a different love interest in every single
movie, yeah.
In 7... He had a crush. They tried to make it look like he had a crush on Rey, but he and Poe were definitely
I was still waiting. When they first came off the
Millennium Falcon, and she's like,
but I knew they weren't going to.
Like, you know, is he grumpy or whatever? And Finn's like, always. It was such like a can you believe my man?
Yeah,
I was hoping they
And then right at the end,
they
when
throw
they both
in two random lesbians at the end of the movie.
Yep, they did.
Speaking of shipping Poe and Finn. Like, because people were upset about that. So, like, here, have some random lesbians
just
in the background.
Making out in the celebration here.
Yeah.
Well, and then, you know, of course, I do have some right-leaning friends, and they were very upset about this. Now they're ruining Star Wars by having these... I'm like, it was really nothing if that really offends you that much. But,
you
I mean...
incest!
Yeah.
In the fifth episode.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm just like...
They're mad that gays exist in Star Wars.
I mean, that's it.
What?
That's it.
See, that's why I don't have friends like that, because the instant they say that, I'm like, we're done.
Yeah,
you
I know.
You kissed Leia in episode 5, not, right? Or was
I
it
just
6?
Have to walk away at that point. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Then don't go see Star Wars.
5, 5 he kissed, yeah, he kissed
4,
Leia.
She kisses him on the cheek. 5, she kisses him on the lips.
But,
okay.
But he didn't know. They didn't know that they were brother and sister.
Okay.
I'm just, I,
also
whatever.
Also, to quote
I'm
Principal Rooney, so that's the way it is in their family.
Oh, that poor guy. Well, not that poor guy. Not that poor guy. Sorry. Ooh, I was not trying to empathize.
He made his bed.
Yeah. Anyway, holy cow. Yeah.
Anyway.
Do not look him up.
I won't.
He's a dirty, dirty, dirty person.
I won't. Ugh. I had no idea to even worry
Jeffrey
about that.
Jeffrey Combs?
Don't even tell me.
No, Jeffrey Combs is a cool guy. No, he's from the reanimator. Like,
yeah, don't mess this up,
Jeffrey
Andy.
Jones. Jeff Jones? I think because his name alliterates. All whatever. Right.
Anyway, so anyway. What else did they have to retcon from 8 to 9?
I mean, not a lot, but the not issue is that a lot just, of 8 was either retconned or completely
just
irrelevant.
Out. Or just yeah. left out. Okay.
Like which, Snoke. You could say Snoke. That's a retcon, because right at the beginning, like 2 minutes into the new movie, the Emperor's like, yeah, I built Snoke. See, there's some leftover Snoke parts in a van over there.
I mean, it's true.
I didn't
even notice that? Yeah. No, there was a
he
whole...
He says, I made Snoke. He means it literally, because while he's saying it, there's a Snoke torso and head laying in a vat.
Yeah. Yeah, like a Bacta tank. Just sitting there.
He just grew Snoke.
I mean,
to be fair, every scene on that planet is so dark you can hardly see anything.
Yeah,
I mean, which is another problem with most movies nowadays. There's always that really, really dark.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know.
My Google search is going to be weird.
It's Jeffrey Jones.
I have no idea.
You just IMDb Beetlejuice and you'll have his name.
Yeah, that's true too.
Or just don't.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
True, but it.
You don't want to disparage Jeffrey Combs' name any further?
Then you already
Jeffrey
have.
Jeffrey Jones.
Yeah, that's...
He was Ed Rooney. All right.
Never doubt me again.
I will?
Okay, fair enough.
Moving on. Because
I think that's how our podcast works.
Yep.
And then there's a slight argument about it, and then I agree with what you had said. So that's how this goes.
Out to be right.
Except for the Triss and Yennefer thing. Still wrong about that.
I mean, no, I'm not.
No.
It's all even about within, Triss. Even if you, it's not a matter of discussing who's the better person. Purely as far as who Geralt should romance within The Witcher 3,
okay.
It's definitely Yennefer.
Yeah.
Because Triss, you have two opportunities to romance. One, she's drunk, and the other one, you and a bunch of people are actively fleeing from an army that's on your feet and is going to murder all of you. Neither of those seemed like good times to bump uglies to me.
Yeah, but you get to have sex in a lighthouse. That's pretty cool.
I mean, you know, she was drunk. It wasn't right.
But she's
also,
the
I
same
sex on a unicorn.
I mean, that is true. I mean, I did both.
Oh, that's
so,
a bad idea.
I mean, you can't romance both of them, but I mean, you can have like I've saves is what I'm saying. I'm like, they were saves. And then at the point where I could romance Triss, I decide this time I'm not going to romance Triss and I'm going to romance Yennefer. So then I played it from that point to the point where you could have sex on a unicorn and do the last wish. And
there's a deeper emotional bond and a more equal partnership to me with Yennefer.
I guess.
People tuning in to this podcast who are very confused because there was
Witcher.
No Yennefer.
They should watch The Witcher.
That's my other objection with Star Wars Episode 9 is it's not nearly enough Yennefer.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's true. There isn't.
Yeah, we're going to be starting that series soon, too. So,
So you don't know much about like the books for The Witcher, right?
No, I know nothing about it. I've played The Witcher 3
okay.
and all of its DLC. And that's it.
Never played it. I've only heard people talk about it.
You should play The Witcher then if you haven't. I played it like 5 years after it came out and I was like, why did I not play this sooner?
You don't need
sooner?
To play 1 or 2. Just
you
jump
don't.
To 3.
Just jump to 3. 3 is amazing.
WoW to play.
No.
No, you don't.
I do.
Seriously, you don't.
I
do.
I play
WoW.
With people. I play with people I know.
Really?
Enjoying that I play with people I know.
Those people unfortunately, you play with are supposed to be recording a Monsterpocalypse podcast with me, but then they just stop.
True.
Ouch.
True, but I mainly play with Jim, and Jim doesn't play Monfok. So.
Anyway, we're no longer talking about
Star
Wars.
We're done with Star Wars, I guess. Yeah. Are we doing recommendations again? Because I do not have a second recommendation.
Nope.
Nate, do you have a recommendation that I can steal from you for this one, too? Or
I'm going to recommend The Witcher.
We could. Oh, man. I can't wait. I'm sad that I was here talking about Star Wars now because it's so late.
It is pretty late.
I have to watch more Witcher.
I wish you'd watched episode 2 at least. 3
I had no time this morning. I had to get up. Yeah.
I wanted
to D&D.
Because you don't know much of anything about like the books, right?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. You can, I mean, you can spoil stuff.
Episode 2, they at the very beginning, they introduce like a hunchback, like farm girl, like Quasimodo style hunchback farm mm-hmm. girl. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about
nope.
that as character?
Nope.
Ugh, all right.
I don't. I will tomorrow.
I will,
because I'm going to watch as much as I can tomorrow.
Yes, because about 2/3 of the way through it, she says who she is. For the first like 2/3 of the episode, somebody even asks, what's your name, and she doesn't answer.
Okay. Yeah, I figure I'll be able to watch 2 or 3 episodes before the kids get up. They don't get up until 10. I'll be up by 7, so yeah, I'll watch like 3 episodes before they get up.
I definitely want to talk to you after episode 3.
Okay. Awesome.
I do appreciate how literal the book is to The Watchmen. How it's a sequel to the book series, the graphic novel.
The Witch, what?
The Watchmen.
Oh,
now he's talking about The Watchmen. We were talking about Witcher.
The Witcher is a good sequel to The Watchmen. Was just confusing that.
Maybe we should just end this now. I mean, this is supposed to be Star Wars.
Rank your Star Wars movies now that they're all done forever. So I'm going the best one. I'm going to start a fight right away here. Jedi. Second best is Empire. Third best, I'm going Episode 7. Then I'm going 4. Then Solo, then 9, Rogue One, 8, 1, 3, 2.
Okay. Yeah, 1, 3, 2 I will agree with are the bottom.
And sure. In that order.
In that order, yeah. Oh, man. I'd have to write this down just so I can keep it straight.
I would almost want to put Episode 1 further up the chain in some way or another.
I don't think I can, though, because I don't think I can put it above...
Nothing non-prequel is worse. And I you know...
Yeah.
There are some really good moments in one for me. Like, I do love Duel of the Fates. It's amazing, and it's actual Quarrel, which blowing my mind.
Corn on the cob, corn on a kebab.
Yeah.
That's the lyrics. You'll hear that every time now.
Thanks a lot. No, for me, it's 5, 6, definitely. Although, for the longest time, it was 6, 5.
Yeah.
But I mean, for me, 6
Ewoks
is like.
Don't bother me. I love that final fight in the whole battle of the second Death Star. I love everything in the Death Star throne room.
Mm-hmm.
Just there's so much. All of the character arcs come to such great ends. Like if I just watch it as a random movie, 5 is probably stronger than 6. But as a conclusion,
so
emotional behind.
I mean, I agree with you.
But anyway,
I mean,
yeah.
But 5, man. I mean, you have such great moments. Yeah, I mean, that is it. And then, yeah, 4, probably, well, you know, 4, honestly, I probably have 9. I liked 9 that much. I'd probably go.
You're going 5, 6,
5,
9,
6, 4? 9, 4. Then I probably throw in Rogue One. As much as I really don't like Rogue One.
But so you're like 7 continues 7? To not be mentioned.
7 is probably after Rogue One.
Wow.
I've never seen Solo, actually. That's
Solo's
how,
a lot of fun. You should see Solo.
And then 8, and then I leave Solo out, and then, yeah, then it's 1, 3, 2.
And that's fine, yeah. I think Solo you'd like. Solo, it's a blast.
Okay. I mean, it's on Netflix.
There was a lot of drama behind it coming out and everything. Well, is it on Netflix still? It's definitely
on Maybe it's
Plus.
Not. Oh, well, then I guess I'll have to get... I still
Do you
need
have
to
Verizon?
Get, no, because then you get Disney Plus for free.
You
I
would.
Know.
That's
I
why
know,
I bring it up.
I know. So that would be my ranking. Probably, again, I'm not, you know,
pretty
again,
close.
I
got
didn't,
Rogue One higher than I do, and we're disagreeing on the 5-6. But,
but I'm not disagreeing with you, like, vehemently on that one, because I really, 6 is really good. I mean, Luke really, I mean, I was a huge Luke Skywalker fan as a kid, so, and then when I became older, I became more of a Han Solo fan, even though I was probably more of a Luke Skywalker goody-two-shoes myself. So, anyway, that's getting way too much into that, but, yeah. 5 and 6, I can't argue too much. And then the rest, I don't know. I mean, I really like 9, and it might just be recency bias for me, too. You know what I mean? That might drop.
I saw, speaking of like a D&D thing, I don't remember the exact details, but I saw something today that said like Han Solo is somebody with like a +3 in charisma, and they never roll higher than a 4 on any skill check in the entire series. I'm like, yeah, that pretty much summarizes all of Han Solo for that whole series.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, everything's fine here. How are you? And then DM squints. Roll for deception.
Yeah, that's legit. That is legit. All right, Andy, you're ranking.
Oh,
you're rancor.
Yeah.
I like Empire a lot. Empire and Jedi, very similar to you guys. They're very can go into either place. I do like 7 a lot. I do like 9. And as I always place them in there, I don't know where I would put 8 so far. But then after 9, so 5, 6, 7, 9, 4.
Similar. Did I do 7, 4, 9? I think I did. So that's pretty close. Yep. Yeah.
I think I would put 8 right before Rogue One, and then Solo, and then 1, 2, or 1, 3, 2.
You disliked Solo that much? I liked it definitely more than Rogue One.
I liked Rogue One. I wish they would have had better character development, but I like seeing a show that wasn't really absolutely tied with the Star Wars universe. And that's about the only movie that I can think of that's not. It is tied at the very end. I mean, it's basically the handoff and that.
Like, none of those other characters are really in there. Yeah,
yeah, no, mm-hmm. Nobody in there is anybody that you know besides Vader at the end. And obviously,
Tarkin.
I liked all that about it. I just wish that they had done that in a movie that was good.
Yeah.
Instead of 3 villains, have one, maybe 2.
There was one thing that I read about Rogue One that kind of ruined it for me a little bit, was that kind of, honestly, kind of really hit it pretty hard. But they said, think about Rogue One. Like, you thought, like, after seeing 4, you thought, well, Luke did this awesome thing. Well, no, the Death Star was designed to blow up. So it wasn't, I mean, Luke got a lucky shot in there, but it was designed to be blown up by this guy who was an Empire defector.
Weird, by the way. You didn't need that detail about it. Like, their job was to get the plans and find the flaw. Did the flaw need to be intentionally made?
Yeah.
Also, if the flaw was intentionally made, the guy's first transmission, when he tells her, hey, you need to come get the plans from me, he easily could have just held up a little sketch and been like, there's a hole here, and if you blow a torpedo, by all means, come get the plans from me. It'll be useful. But in case you can't get to me, this is the gist of it. Aim for this hole. Bye.
Also the general contractor who was actually at the site looking over the blueprints going like, there appears to be this one hole that goes straight to the reactor.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's for, but it's in the plan, so we're gonna make it work.
Yeah.
I've known some general contractors, that's exactly what would have happened.
That's probably true.
They're making minimum wage, they don't care.
Yeah, and also they're not there all the time overseeing what the work is being done.
Just stuff like the pilot being tentacle raped by some brain monster in the rebel leader's dungeon, and then it just never matters. Like, he's just fine the next scene.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. It's just, and I know I said, you don't have to take it too seriously, but again, I can ignore any goofiness on a large scale if it makes sense when you look at it on the small scale. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's hypocritical, but that's why I'm able to nitpick while also not give a crap that a talking dog flies their spaceship.
Yeah.
I think maybe my higher hopes for the film may weigh how I view it. I wish there was a little bit more character development in there, but I think it had a really truly great premise for a really good film. With a guy who just believed in the religion of the Force.
You can have that faith without actually being a Jedi. That's correct. Very interesting. Yeah.
There's
a lot of interesting stuff in there. I just felt like there was kind of bungled.
Yeah, yeah. And
What's that guy's name?
No idea.
So you don't know.
Yeah, and what's his friend / lover's
Chirrut, name? Chirrut Imwe and Baze Malbus.
Sure. I know K2SO because droid names are fun.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a fun name.
I only know that because I played the Star Wars, this Galaxy of Heroes thing, and they're in it. And they're actually kind of a cool combo. But
there's
whatever.
Jyn Erso and her boyfriend, that other guy.
Yep, exactly.
And then there's the pilot guy.
Yep.
I
don't know those guys. Those guys aren't as good. But
was there another guy that wasn't any of those people?
Yeah. There was
some random.
There was some random alien guy in that group too.
Oh yeah, remember that?
Pow or something was his name or something like that too.
I believe you. You could be lying to my face, and I would have no fucking idea.
I'm not. I might be misremembering, but I'm not lying.
The reason why I don't like Solo as much as Rogue One is because the movie is just filled with things I didn't need to know. Things that didn't need to be explained.
Like the parsec thing?
Everything. Everything about it.
They put too many of those in there. Like, So, yes, zero of them needed to be in the film.
Correct.
They put in, like, 50 of them, right? Like, literally everything they explain. How does he meet Chewie? How does Chewie get a bandolier? How does he get his vest? How does he get his gun? How does he get the Millennium Falcon?
Why? How does he get his name?
Well, so...
Okay, you are not making me want to see this movie now.
All of those are things I didn't need to have explained.
Yeah.
If I was going to have them explained, I didn't need all of them explained in one movie. And of all of those, though, I will say the only one that was extremely egregious was why is his name Solo?
I'm fine with Solo.
I'm fine with him meeting Chewie. I'm fine with him getting the bandolier. I'm fine with him getting his vest. I'm fine with him getting the Millennium Falcon. I'm fine with explaining Parsec. Like, I get that that's what I signed up for when I saw a Solo prequel movie. But fucking A, can't his dad be George Solo and his grandpa is Bob Solo? And can't he just come from a long line of Solos?
The explanation of the Kessel Run is the annoying thing.
No, it makes perfect sense. It's it has always been the fan-made, non-canon explanation of why it makes sense to measure that in parsecs. Is that it was a feat of navigation, not of speed.
Yes.
He cut angles and found a shortcut. It was pretty much that I was fine with. Some random schmuck being, what's your name, Han? What's your family name? I'm all alone, and nobody loves me. Oh, you're by yourself? Let me grab my thesaurus real quick. Han alone, Han by himself, Han... Oh, Han Solo. That's your name now. Your name's Han Solo. That's the fucking scene, Chris.
There's less of a thesaurus.
I don't need to...
But man, apart from that scene...
I feel like I was correct in never seeing it now.
That scene made me go, ugh, but I enjoyed the rest of the film. It's fun, it's adventurous, it is just the, hey, let's fly around and shoot some lasers and have some fun Star Wars that you want.
It's a good heist film.
It's a lot of fun. That scene is very cringy.
I do like heist films.
That scene is extremely cringy. The overabundance of explaining literally everything about Han Solo is very annoying.
But did they do that because they just didn't think they were going to be able to get to do another one?
Probably.
Is that really what it was?
Probably.
I mean, well, then make a good movie and then you don't have some confidence.
Yeah.
Make a good movie.
It's actually rated fairly well.
Yeah,
it's just by fanboys. Well, it was after Episode 8.
There were three issues with the Solo film that killed it, I think. One is all the behind-the-scenes drama, including firing and replacing the director.
The main character
very famously having to go and get acting lessons during the filming of the movie. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was not good for it. Thing two, Star Wars movies were coming out every couple years, right?
Yep.
And then they were good at it. They had the new ones. They're like, we're going to alternate. So we're going to have 7. And then a year later, Rogue One. And then a year later, 8. And then a year later, Solo.
And they pushed Solo 9. Up.
But instead of waiting a year, it got released like 2 months after 8. Something absurdly quick.
It was May.
Okay. So
it was May after a December release.
Okay, so 6 months. So yeah. half a year instead of a full
year.
Quick. It's way too soon, especially with point 3, Episode 8 was terrible. Whether you personally believe it or not, that is the vision that people had.
Yeah.
So you have not – that it exacerbated the closeness of it by having it be very
and here's
close
the thing.
To the movie people
were if you didn't like Rogue One, why would you go and see Solo? And especially now you've seen Rogue One and you've seen Episode 8 and then it's Solo 6 months after 8.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll wait.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
Yeah,
right
and
now.
That's the issue.
And that –
It's a fine film. It's fun. It's got the whole train sequence is cool. Lando's great.
I mean, that's the only reason Donald Glover, that dude to me, can do no wrong.
He can do no wrong. He's a great actor. He's a great comedian. His music is great.
Yeah.
Dong Lover is wonderful.
Yep.
That was his Twitter handle.
Dong Lover.
His Twitter handle is Dong Lover. It was like 4 years before somebody pointed out to him, and he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
because he didn't even notice
Don Glover. Yeah,
was Dong Lover.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense.
The kid that plays Harrison Ford basically has a very. I don't think he needed acting lessons because he sounds and talks just like Harrison.
Oh, that was after acting lessons.
Yeah, well,
we don't know how much of that film was before and after
the acting. That's lessons. Very true too. But no, he worked out fairly well for me. I enjoyed his performance.
Oh well,
yeah. I mean, my number list is not at all set in stone. I mean, it's...
You're allowed to not like Solo as much as I like Solo.
Sure.
Everyone's entitled to be wrong.
Yeah. Yep, just like...
All right, we're going to end this podcast.
Yeah, we better. Or we're going to start fighting about Triss and Yennefer some more.
Well, I mean, you're entitled to your poor choices.
Thanks, guys, for watching and listening. We'll have this up as a secondary episode.